Good morning. I'd like to call this meeting of the Standing Advisory Committee to order. Thank you all for being here this morning, members of the Standing Advisory Group and official observers, PCAOB board members and staff, everyone supporting the functioning of this meeting, those here to observe as well as those listening in on our webcast this morning. This is the annual meeting of the Standing Advisory Group. At this meeting, we will be seeking your views on our current standard-setting priorities of the PCAOB. In connection with that discussion, I will be giving a report on standards-related accomplishments over the past 12 months. We have two additional agenda items and an emerging issue. The first of those agenda items addresses auditing implications of IFRS financial statements in U.S. SEC filings. The second is a presentation of a working paper by the PCAOB's Office of Research and Analysis. The working paper studies market responses to financial statement restatement announcements in the Sarbanes-Oxley era. For the emerging issue discussion, we will return to the subject we discussed at the June meeting, which is financial reporting and auditing implications of the subprime lending situation and current market liquidity situation. Before I move to the first agenda item, I'd like to highlight two recent staff changes. As you know, Judy Howard joined the PCAOB staff this summer as SAG coordinator. This is Judy's first SAG meeting, and we're delighted to have her as part of the team. I hope everybody has a chance to meet her in person today, if you haven't already. Also, as you're probably aware, a member of the professional staff is responsible for overseeing the functioning of the SAG. This includes working with Judy on the logistical aspects of the SAG meetings and membership, overseeing the annual nominations process, and overseeing the development of meeting agendas and briefing papers. Bella Rivshin, Associate Chief Auditor, recently took on that responsibility, so you'll be seeing more and hearing more from Bella in the coming years. Jennifer Rand, one of our two Deputy Chief Auditors, has had the SAG oversight responsibility since our very first SAG meeting in June of 2004. Jennifer and I agreed it was time to pass on this opportunity to another member of our professional staff. Jennifer played a very substantial role in shaping the nature of this group, as well as the operation of the group, as well as in determining the matters in which we seek your advice and the way in which we do those, the way in which we seek your advice. She also, quite simply, made my job as SAG chairman as easy as she possibly could have. So I have no reservations in saying that Jennifer did an outstanding job over the last 3 years. So thank you very much, Jennifer. We also have a new face at our table today. Tom Linsmeyer, FASB board member, joins us this morning as the FASB observer. Tom, we're pleased to have you here. Okay, let me just remind you of two rules with regard to the facility in which we're holding this meeting. Now, please wear your suit jackets if you leave this room, and cell phone use is not permitted in the lobby. We will run this meeting in the manner we have in the past. When you decide you would like to comment, please put your name tent up on its side, and we will call on you when it is your turn to speak. So at this point, I'd like to move to the first agenda item, which is our standard-setting priorities and accomplishments. As I mentioned, this is our annual meeting of the Standing Advisory Group. At this meeting, the Office of the Chief Auditor will present to you for discussion the board's standard-setting priorities. I will start the session with a report on our standards-related accomplishments over the past year, followed by an overview of the topics the PCAOB standard-setting staff believes should have the highest priority. I will then open the floor to discussion. We have slides that you can use to follow along and take notes on as I make this presentation. And I also have included in front of you the last page of the handout, the slides from last year's meeting, in case you'd like to refer to those as I go forward. So to set the stage for this discussion, I believe it is important to describe the significant standards-related accomplishments since last year's annual SAG meeting, as it will give you a sense of where the standard-setting staff and the board have devoted their substantive attention and resources. Many of these accomplishments relate directly to the priorities we discussed last year or are related to other matters that are important to this group. The first of our slides includes a listing of those accomplishments. The board remains focused on the successful implementation of the internal control reporting provisions of the Sarbanes-Oxley Act. Last year, we described the board's four-point plan and some of the efforts that ultimately led to auditing standard number 5, also which I will refer to as AS5, which has superseded the board's auditing standard number 2. In February, we devoted a considerable portion of the SAG meeting to discussing potential changes to the internal control auditing standard. On May 29 of this year, the board adopted AS5, and that was subsequently approved by the Securities and Exchange Commission in July. Yesterday, the PCAOB published for public comment staff guidance on auditing internal control over financial reporting for smaller public companies. The guidance was developed with the generous assistance of representatives from 12 registered public accounting firms. We also benefited from the assistance of the SEC staff, as well as review and comment from several smaller public companies. Auditors may use this guidance immediately. The comment period provides an opportunity to further improve the document. We now are focusing some additional attention to the delivery of education on the new auditing standard to smaller auditing firms. That would be in addition to what we historically have provided in our PCAOB forums on auditing in the small business environment. We have had considerable interaction with our colleagues in inspections throughout the internal control project. Inspection staff were involved in each step of our AS5 project, providing input based on their inspections experience generally and specifically with regard to the implementation of AS number 2, the board's initial internal control auditing standard. The Chief Auditor's Office remains involved in the development of the inspections approach and is participating in the development and delivery of inspections training on the new internal control auditing standard. Chief Auditor staff also assist our inspectors in evaluating inspection findings and in communicating those findings to the registered firms. As a side note, our experience with internal control illustrates the range of interaction between the various divisions of the PCAOB. Other PCAOB divisions, such as the Office of Research and Analysis and the Office of General Counsel, also provide input on each standards-related project. I expect the subject of internal control to continue to require a measurable portion of our resources over the next 12 months. Activities in this area will include completion of the small firm guidance, participation in the inspections process, and education for smaller auditing firms. The next item on the list is principles of reporting. On April 3rd of this year, the board published a proposed auditing standard evaluating consistency of financial statements and proposed amendments to interim auditing standards. This proposal was made in response to two actions by the Financial Accounting Standards Board. One is the issuance by the FASB of Statement of Financial Accounting Standards number 154, Accounting Changes and Error Corrections, which revised the accounting for and disclosure of accounting changes. The other is the FASB proposal to incorporate a hierarchy of generally accepted accounting principles into a new accounting standard. This gap hierarchy currently resides in the auditing literature. The comment period on this proposal ended in May, and we currently are working to complete revisions to the proposal based on the comments we received. Also on April 3rd, the board published a concept release concerning the scope of Rule 3523, Tax Services for Persons in Financial Reporting Oversight Roles. Based on the comments received on the concept release, the board on July 24th published a proposed amendment to Rule 3523 and a proposed new Rule 3526. The proposed amendment to Rule 3523 would change the scope of the rule to apply only to the professional engagement period rather than to the audit and professional engagement period. Proposed Rule 3526, Communications with Audit Committees Concerning Independence, is an updating of one of the board's interim independence standards, which is Independent Standards Board Standard Number 1, independence discussions with audit committees, also referred to as ISB number one. The proposal modestly expands the auditor's communication responsibility. The proposed rule would require the auditor, prior to accepting an initial engagement under the standards of the PCAOB, to describe in writing to the audit committee all relationships between the auditor and any affiliates of the auditor, and the potential audit client or persons in a financial oversight role at the potential audit client that may reasonably be thought to bear an independence. As is the case with ISB number one, the auditor also would be required to make a similar communication to the audit committee annually thereafter. The comment period on these proposals ended in September, and we currently are working to complete revisions to the proposals based on the comments we received. I would like to briefly describe certain other specific accomplishments since last year's annual SAG meeting. On October 17, 2006, which was shortly after last year's meeting, the staff issued a set of staff questions and answers to help auditors audit the fair value of share options granted to employees. This set of staff questions and answers explains how to apply the board's existing auditing standards to the fair values determined in applying FAS 123R and the SEC Staff Accounting Bulletin number 107. The guidance outlines the overall approach to auditing the fair value of option grants and focuses auditors' attention to the aspects of the valuation that have the most effect. On April 3, 2007, the staff issued another set of staff questions and answers, this one on ethics and independence rules concerning independence, tax services, and contingent fees. These questions and answers are intended to assist in the implementation of PCAOB Rules 3522, Tax Transactions, and 3523, Tax Services for Persons in Financial Reporting Oversight Roles. On January 22, 2007, the board issued an inspection report pursuant to its Rule 4010, which is titled Observations on Auditors' Implementation of PCAOB Standards Relating to Auditors' Responsibilities with Respect to Fraud. The report is a summary of observations made in the course of the board's inspections that are principally related to the way in which the inspected firms implemented Statement on Auditing Standards number 99, the auditor's consideration of fraud in a financial statement audit. The observations summarized in the report are sufficiently important or arise with sufficient frequency to warrant discussion in a public report, both for the purpose of generally focusing auditors on being diligent about these matters and for the purpose of providing information that audit committees may find useful in working with auditors. The Office of the Chief Auditor worked closely with the Inspections Division in preparing that report, and I'm hopeful that this report will help registered firms improve their focus on their responsibilities for fraud in a financial statement audit, and I encourage auditors to obtain and read that report. On April 18th, the board issued another inspections report pursuant to Rule 4010, report on the second year implementation of auditing standard number 2, an audit of internal control over financial reporting performed in conjunction with an audit of financial statements. OCA staff assisted inspections in preparing that report. So now let me move on to priorities going forward. The items on the next two slides are a listing of current priorities, matters that we expect to give substantive attention to at some time during the next 12 months. I expect that some, but not all, of these items will result in either proposed or final adopted standards or rules during the next 12 months. Now, although it's not included on the list of standard-setting priorities, the effective implementation of the internal control reporting provisions of the Act will continue to be a focus of this organization, as I've already mentioned. Now that AS number 5 has been approved, our focus is on its implementation and in making sure that registered firms have the information and training they need to appropriately implement the new standard. This will continue to require the PCAOB to devote resources in this area. As I indicated several minutes ago, we recently proposed standards and rules in the areas of independence and reporting, and we intend to complete those projects in the very near term. The next item on the list is engagement quality review. Section 103 of the Sarbanes-Oxley Act requires the board to adopt in its auditing standards a requirement for a concurring or second partner review and approval of each audit report and concurring approval of its issuance. We refer to the concurring or second partner review as the engagement quality review because we believe this term is more reflective of the objective of the review. The SAG has discussed the engagement quality reviews on two separate occasions. We also work closely with PCAOB inspectors in developing a draft standard, so this is an example of a project in which the PCAOB, as a standard setter, has been able to utilize knowledge gained through our inspections process. We have made substantial progress on this project, and it remains one of our top priorities. In the risk assessment project, we are reevaluating the auditor's risk assessment process, which includes the auditor's understanding of the company he or she is auditing and the company's environment, the auditor's assessment of the risk of material misstatement of the financial statements, and the linkage between the assessed risks and the nature, timing, and extent of the auditing procedures performed in response to those risks. Improvements in the auditing standards regarding risk assessment could encourage the appropriate integration of the audit of the financial statements with the audit of internal control over financial reporting by, for example, reframing the interim auditing standards to articulate a risk-based integrated audit process more directly. We have heard some concern that auditors are not consistently effective at assessing risk and then responding appropriately. Additionally, our inspectors have observed some cases in which auditors do not respond appropriately to fraud risk indicators. This project will give us an opportunity to further study and address these matters. Similarly, our inspectors have observed some cases in which auditors appear to have approached their consideration of fraud as an isolated mechanical process rather than as an integral part of the audit. The staff is evaluating how the auditor's fraud risk assessment should be integrated with the auditor's overall risk assessment. We believe there is an opportunity to clarify in the professional standards this relationship. The International Auditing and Assurance Standards Board, the IAASB, and the U.S. Auditing Standards Board have revised their auditing standards to enhance the auditor's risk assessment process, and we are evaluating the work of those two boards in connection with this project. This is a large project, and it affects several of the board's interim standards. Last year, we reported our plans to make substantial progress on this project over the ensuing 12 months. Our efforts regarding internal control have advanced our thinking on these issues as we determine the appropriate direction for assessing and responding to risk in an integrated audit. This is an important project, and we plan to make substantial progress during the next 12 months. We continue to keep our eyes on developments with regard to fair value accounting. Issuers were permitted to adopt Statement of Financial Accounting Standards number 157, Fair Value Measurements, this year, and the new standard becomes mandatory in 2008, although there has been some recent discussion about its effective dates. Issuers also were permitted to adopt Statement 159, Fair Value Option, this year. We have engaged in regular dialogue with the SEC, the FASB, auditors and issuers to assess whether there are emerging auditing issues. Measurement of fair value also is affected by the recent subprime mortgage and liquidity issues in the marketplace, which we discussed with the SAG in June, and will do so again later today. We have been evaluating the existing auditing standards on auditing estimates, auditing fair values, and using the work of specialists, all of which are pertinent to the audit of fair value measurements, to determine whether any changes to the board standards or additional staff guidance are needed. While some aspects of those standards will become obsolete once FAS 157 becomes mandatory for all companies, the majority of the principles in those standards still apply. So from an immediate perspective, we believe auditors will be able to apply the direction in those standards to the new accounting. We are, however, considering whether some additional guidance would be helpful. Eventually, it will be appropriate for us to update those standards. So I have included this topic on the list of standard-setting priorities because of the likelihood that we would begin a project to update the related standards at some time in the next 12 months. Last year, we identified three projects that were in the second tier of priority, projects we expected to begin during the ensuing 12 months. Those are related parties, confirmations, and specialists. In the specialist project, we would reevaluate the auditor's use of specialists, either when a company engages or employs a specialist, and the auditor uses that specialist's work as evidential matter in performing an audit, or when an auditor engages a specialist and uses that specialist's work as evidential matter. The SAG has discussed issues relating to specialists. The IAASB and the Auditing Standards Board also have projects in process on the use of specialists, and we are monitoring those projects and will consider their results. Although we did not begin a standard-setting project on this subject during the past 12 months, specialists is a subject we have given substantive attention to in connection with our monitoring of developments in fair value accounting, and it continues to be a priority and is a project we expect to begin soon. In the related parties project, which will include consideration of fraud risk, we will reevaluate the auditor's obligation for the identification and evaluation of related parties and related party transactions, and consider what direction is needed to help auditors satisfy that obligation. We recently began working on this project at the staff level. In the confirmations project, we would reevaluate the auditor's use of confirmations to corroborate a company's account balances and transactions directly with third parties. The existing standards do not address all areas for which direct confirmation with third parties may be preferable to applying other audit procedures and certain practice issues, such as when management requests the auditor not to confirm, as well as authenticating confirmation responses received electronically. This project also would consider fraud risk. We were not able to devote attention to this project during the past year. We continue to see it as a priority, however. When the board adopted existing auditing standards of the AICPA on an initial transitional basis in April 2003, the board indicated that it would establish a schedule and procedure for the review of all the interim professional auditing standards. We have not yet established such a schedule or procedure. Rather, we have focused our standard-setting resources on specific priorities, which is consistent with advice we have received from the SAG. At the beginning of 2007, the staff began evaluating each of the board's interim auditing standards to begin the process of identifying the level of change necessary to adopt the standards as permanent standards of the board and to begin to formulate views as to their relative priority. Our next step is to develop a more defined schedule and procedure for this review with the board. I expect that we will seek additional advice from the SAG on this subject next year. There are three other matters not on the priority list that I would like to bring to your attention. There has been considerable discussion about the need for, and progress has been made toward, a set of single high-quality accounting standards for both domestic and cross-border financial reporting. Later today, we will consider possible auditing issues associated with the use of international financial reporting standards to prepare financial statements for use in the United States. Increasingly, questions are being raised about the need for uniform auditing standards for both domestic and cross-border financial reporting purposes. In the coming year, as we consider various aspects of our standard-setting role moving forward, I expect that we will seek the SAG's views on whether there is a need for a set of globally accepted auditing standards, how the PCAOB should interact with other auditing standard setters, and how this should fit within the PCAOB's other priorities, including our approach to acting on the board's interim professional standards. The second matter I wish to draw to your attention is XBRL, or Extensible Business Reporting Language. I expect that you are all familiar with this subject. In a nutshell, what XBRL does is to make financial information identifiable by computers so that the information can be more readily disseminated, analyzed, and used. The private sector has been developing this technology for some time, and more recently, the SEC, under Chairman Cox's leadership, has taken steps to encourage its implementation. Steps taken by the SEC include the XBRL Voluntary Financial Reporting Program, the recent release of the source code for the Interactive Financial Report Viewer, and the creation of the Office of Interactive Disclosure. As this initiative develops, the PCAOB staff will be working closely with the SEC to address auditors' responsibilities with regard to XBRL tag data. Finally, there are two federal advisory committees focused on the accounting profession. The SEC established the Advisory Committee on Improvements to Financial Reporting to examine the U.S. financial reporting system with the goals of reducing unnecessary complexity and making information more useful and understandable for investors. The U.S. Department of the Treasury established the Advisory Committee on the Auditing Profession to provide informed advice and recommendations to the Secretary of the Treasury and the Department of the Treasury on the sustainability of a strong and vibrant public company auditing profession. The PCAOB serves as observer on both of these federal advisory committees. Recommendations from these two committees might affect PCAOB priorities. So to conclude, these topics represent our view of our standard-setting priorities as of today. Of course, changes in circumstances and new developments can result in changes to these priorities and can affect our ability to make progress on these matters. So with that as background of the proposed standard-setting priorities, I would now like to open up this discussion for your input and advice. Kimberly Gavilitz.
Good morning. Thank you for those opening remarks, and thank you to the new staff members and welcome, and thank you for those that are moving on to other roles. We really appreciate the timing and the effort that you put into this because it makes it smooth for us as we come here. Just a comment on your opening comments, Tom. I was glad to hear about what we're focusing on today with the international standards, and in particular your comment on looking at the auditing standards and looking internationally. I think most of the corporations out there are becoming very global, if they are not already, with what the SEC is already looking at. It obviously follows that we need to be looking at the auditing side of that as well. What I'm looking for is all that to be knit together such that we not only have the standards but the governance structures and the right people involved everywhere. So I applaud the PCAOB in acknowledging that and us starting that path.
Bob Kippers.
Thanks, Tom. On a related point, I think one of the challenges the board has and the staff has is the careful consideration of high-quality auditing standards to be used here in the U.S., and it's extremely important that that be carefully and deliberatively done. Your process is not particularly efficient given the sort of the double comment, regime that we work with here. But I think that, therefore, making progress is a particular challenge for the board. I guess my recommendation is that at least consider as you go forward, you head down one road and you kind of get committed. But I think it's maybe time to get broad input on which direction to head. And one approach, for example, would be to use the ICES as just a starting point. You may decide that they're not adequate for U.S. purposes and want to add things or change things, but at least then any differences would be easily understood. I'm not going to use the C word, but I think that there's a good body of work being done, and at least that would permit you to build on, if you chose to, what's already been achieved and at least promote consistency without necessarily adopting wholesale what others have done.
Joe Carcillo.
Tom, maybe you can share with the group a discussion of how your unit evaluates performance, your performance. And it would seem to me that if I look at your group, I'd look at two things, the quality of the standards that are issued, which is hard to evaluate. That's to some extent in the eye of the beholder, I think, and the quantity of standards that are issued. And if those aren't metrics that are used, what are the metrics that are used? And the other thing I would ask is, has your group benchmarked its size versus the size of other auditing standard setters. It seems to me that the resources, when you consider the free time that was provided by the accounting firms, that was devoted to auditing standard setting and presumably still is at the Auditing Standards Board level and at the IAASB level, might exceed the relatively small size of your group. And essentially the bottom line question is, do you have enough people to really tackle what you've listed up here as well as what kind of the capital markets might want you to tackle?
Thanks, Joe. Ordinarily, this is a meeting where, of course, PCAOB likes to receive the advice and input from the SAG, and if anybody has some additional maybe observations with regard to that, certainly would welcome them. Just a couple of comments, I guess. I think in terms of evaluating our performance, I would characterize it as a fairly subjective rather than an objective type of evaluation, and we need to think about, is there a need for a standard or a change? Did we respond appropriately? And in a timely enough fashion. In terms of size, I think it's a number of people are aware. We are still actively recruiting for people in the Office of the Chief Auditor. We're not up to what I would say a full complement of professionals. So if anybody listening who's interested in an exciting career in standard setting, please give me a call. Vin Coleman.
Tom, I also appreciate your opening comments, because when I looked at the slides, you know, the one thing that was missing from here was this impact on international that I think that we are all living through right now, whether it's the discussion about moving to IFRS. You know, you have very large global organizations, as Kimberly just talked about. And yet, to Bob's point, you know, we seem to be dealing with this with various legs of a stool. And I'm surprised that we don't have an overall priority or framework that would at least be on a path similar to the accounting side of convergence, recognizing there might be differences. We may make a decision for the different environment that we're in. But to move down the model that we continue to have, I'm surprised it's not one of our either a priority or a framework or an overarching principle with respect to, you know, the globalization of the standards. And then secondly, the point you made on XBRL, I think, is an excellent one. It's a very practical, short-term, difficult issue with respect to what type of association, assurance, or procedures the auditor is going to need to play with respect to that information that's going to get out in a different format and being used at various levels, both consolidated reporting and the notes to the financial statements, and secondly, the various elements, which makes it an extremely challenging issue.
With regard to resources, just a couple of thoughts occurred to me. I'd just like to add, so people are thinking about this, they could factor this in as well. One of the things the staff does is participate as an observer to the IAASB. So we learn a lot as a result of just participating in that process. And we do begin each standard setting project by looking at what the IAASB as well as the ASB and other standard setters have done. So we don't start with a blank piece of paper on a standard setting project. We also, as I indicated in my remarks, draw on other resources within the PCAOB, including our inspections and in our standard setting projects, as well as on our talented board members who play a very active role in the entire process. So those are just some additional thoughts in that regard. Dick Dietrich.
I think this is going to come up a little bit later on today, too, but as an academic who has a responsibility in thinking about the proper education for students who will begin their careers in accounting, there are a couple of things that I think are going to come up today in different ways. And we talked about this last time, too, and it really has to do with the volume of knowledge that students need to have in order to be able to have successful careers in the profession. And the tug is going to come on a couple of dimensions. One, we're talking about international financial reporting standards today and the auditing of them, which raises the question about the need for students to have that knowledge. We talked last time about fair values and the educational requirements for that. We're now talking about potentially convergence of auditing standards, but right now, potentially two different sets of auditing standards that students conceivably could know. Now, as we think about the population of students who study accounting, not all of them are likely to practice in an area where all of this knowledge would be pertinent for them. For example, many people may concentrate in taxation or work with non-public companies. And so one of the things that's, a challenging question and one that may not come up in normal course is, does it make sense to consider whether at some point the PCAOB may want to have separate qualifications for those who audit public companies that are superior to that of CPAs generally? And that's important. It comes up in the literature today about if we have IFRS mandated, essentially, how do we change the CPA exam for that? How do we have students learn IFRS? What would they do about two sets of auditing standards? The kinds of things that we've been talking at around this meeting this year are things that many accounting students may never be exposed to in their professional careers and maybe shouldn't be responsible for learning. How do we do that? How do we share that education requirement with the ongoing professional education requirements? Is that something that should be done at a university or somewhere else? So when we think about these issues, I think it's important for us to think about the people who will actually conduct the work and how we will properly educate them and where to do that work.
Bob Chirola.
Thanks, Tom, and good morning. I wanted to reemphasize what I think is the importance of looking at how the auditing profession could be or should be associated with financial information that is disseminated electronically and distributed to users in that format. As we move away from the bounded paper copy of financial statements into an electronic world where information is disseminated in elements instead of as a whole, how will the auditing profession be associated with that information? The XBRL pilot program has made me aware, more aware, I guess, that our financial information is being packaged and distributed in ways that I have no influence over. And for sure, there's no direct auditor association. And if financial information is more often being used in that way, in subsequently packaged and disseminated formats, how will both registrants or issuers and auditors work in that world, be associated in that world, be relevant in that world beyond the paper?
Arnie Hanisch.
Thanks, Tom. A couple of points on the priorities. I guess if I were to prioritize the priorities, I would hope that given the 157 issues that are being debated right now at the FASB, that I would put fair value, and I link that in with specialists as well, the use of specialists at the top of the list as far as the need and the urgency to try to get something out specifically on point. But I think, you know, overall, there's quite a bit on your priority list, and I hope you have the necessary resources in order to try to accomplish what you want to accomplish here. With regard to auditing standards from an international perspective, I think it would be interesting to have a future SAG session to maybe educate some of us on what these differences truly are. I mean, while I am the chief accounting officer of a multinational company, we don't spend a lot of time focused in on what the differences are with respect to auditing standards from an international perspective. So when we talk about convergence, quite frankly, I don't honestly understand what the differences are. I always thought that auditing standards were auditing standards. So a little bit of education might be helpful for the committee so that we can, you know, advise you appropriately with respect to whether there really is a need for convergence of international auditing standards. And then I guess finally, just to reiterate a point that you and I have talked about, and maybe it can get caught up in an action plan for review of interim standards. I truly believe that the board and the staff need to really step back and take a holistic view of the auditing standards now that AS5 is out there. And again, maybe it gets caught up in your review of interim standards that you sort of inherited from the auditing standards board. But I think with AS5 and setting forth a clean sheet of paper, there are many standards and many auditing practices that the firms employ that have been around for 50 or 60 years. And I think it's time that we just started out with a clean sheet of paper and say, you know, what would we have in the way of approaches to auditing and more flexibility to based upon the company's size to eliminate certain procedures that I think many of us believe are probably passe at this point, given technology and the complexities of the world that we're living in. So we just encourage you to take a fresh look at the totality and how it's all integrated.
Joe Carcello.
First, let me second and expand on the comments that Dick made. As some of the board members know, this is an issue I've been talking about with the board for 5 years. Sarbanes basically gives the board oversight of the auditing profession in just about all areas except education. And so you basically are deferring to the AICPA and state boards of accountancy, the education space, which I think is dangerous. I think a certification for auditors of public companies that goes beyond the CPA exam makes a lot of sense. And the point that Dick made, I think, is something you need to think about very carefully. Just within the last 5 years, if you think about the body of information, you've got financial statements under GAAP, and now you've got under GAAP both historical cost and fair value. You've got IFRS. You've got internal control reporting, which didn't exist before Sarbanes-Oxley. So we cover COSO, AS5, system stuff under COBIT. Auditing, the SASs we still have to cover, the PCAOB standards, the international standards on auditing, some governance stuff, there's push for forensic stuff, and I'm not even touching tax, managerial, and governmental. And so if you think about this proliferation of the body of literature, guys, bluntly, there's not that many universities in the country that have the resource of the faculty to do all of this. And so if there was a certain certification, universities then could self-select. And the universities that are larger and have more resources may have the ability to focus on that. The other thing you need to think through very carefully is, I think many people in this room are aware of, the accounting professoriate is aging rapidly. There are 5 accounting professors in this room. I won't point out the names of all of them, but I think we know who they are. And I am the youngest one in the room. And I am not a young person anymore. And so we have an aging professoriate, and we don't have a pipeline on the back end anywhere close to filling this. These are big issues that will have long-term repercussions if they're not dealt with. My second point is going back to the standard setting, Tom. And I would encourage you, and I think you guys are doing this, is you now have 5 years of inspection data, if you count 03 as a limited year. From 2003 through 2007, 2007, I understand, still being ongoing, use inspection findings to analyze where there have been problems. Are there problems with performance? Are the standards themselves refined? They're just problems with implementing the standards. My guess would be those are the lion's share. But there probably will be some where the problems relate to standards that were deficient in some manner. And use that learning to inform your new standards, to drive your new standards. Before I talked about the relative size of your group versus the ASB and the IAASB and said your group may be smaller in terms of resources, but you have a major comparative advantage over them in that you have access to these inspection findings to inform standards. I don't believe they have a comparable analog. So I would really encourage you to take advantage of that advantage that you have that they don't.
John Kellis.
Thank you very much, Tom. Two points, really. First of all, on the priorities, I think they look very similar to our own priorities, which I think is encouraging to us and probably shouldn't be a surprise given the things that are floating about at present. We certainly, from consulting on where our priorities should be, have got a strong message on fair values and are revising our standard on that. But the question that has arisen is how far do you go within the standard? And we're now coming under a lot of pressure to look at the question of further guidance in some form or other. And so we're hoping to work with some of the regulatory communities with an interest in this in order to provide some further guidance. On the other point, first of all, I would welcome very... I do welcome very much your remarks about international cooperation. And I think that we very much benefit from the participation of PCAOB, both as observers to our board meetings, as Tom said, but also as members of our advisory group. And I think this interaction is extremely positive. I think the case for a clearer relationship between auditing standards in all jurisdictions is a very strong one. And when I look at the US, which naturally requires the use of PCAOB standards for foreign registrants, it just strikes me that if you're sitting there as an auditor of a foreign registrant, it would be much easier to achieve the quality of audit under PCAOB standards that you will be looking for if there's a clearer relationship between the standards used domestically by those auditors and the PCAOB standards. And the strongest way, it would seem to me, for that sort of relationship to be clear would be to have some sort of common base internationally of standards on which others perhaps can build. And perhaps the review of the interim standards might present an opportunity for considering that sort of model. We are at present closely working with the European Community, which is probably the largest single economic jurisdiction which is looking to adopt our standards at present. And their model is somewhat complex, as you would imagine, with an economic entity with 26 member states and a parliament to consider and a commission as well. But their model basically is to work with us and to provide input into our standards in the hope of ensuring that the end product will be acceptable to them. But they do reserve the right and opportunity to add, if necessary, to the standards, and indeed even for member states within Europe to add, provided they can justify this to the Commission in order to cope with local jurisdictional issues. So I think there may be some sort of model there, but in the meantime, certainly, I welcome this indication and very warmly welcome all input from the PCAOB, and was particularly pleased to receive, although I may not have appreciated every element of the content, a staff letter from the PCAOB in response to one of our recent exposure drafts, and I was, as I say, very pleased to receive that.